Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a privilege it is to be here to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Can we just get excited for a minute that we can worship the Lord this morning? All right, let's lift up our voices.
Of course.
Oh,
arms.
In his arms he'll take and cheer.
Go! Thank you, worship team, for a powerful time of singing praises to our Savior. Is the name of Jesus powerful? Amen. Can we say it together on the count of three? Let's say it together. We're going to say the name of Jesus together on the count of three. One, two, three, Jesus. Hey, I like it. We'll just say just the name. That's good. I say it wrong. Just Jesus on three. One, two, three, Jesus. So powerful. I love that part of that song where it says, "He has no rival." If that don't get you excited, I'm sorry. I just don't know what else to say about it. He don't have a rival. And today we're gonna try our best to finish this sermon. Quit playing Christianity. This is part three of a one-part sermon. I was even going, so here's what, let me take you into my living room this morning. I said, you know what, I'm going to add verses. We're going to go to verse 30, because I just don't think there's enough in verse 25 and 26 to make a sermon out of this. That's me. I got up. I started reading it, and the Lord was like, what are you doing? What are you, really? That's the feeling. I mean, it felt like God was just looking at me saying, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I'm fixing to print what I got right here, and we're going to go on. And so that's what we did. So if we ain't got enough, you got to talk to Jesus about that. He told me this was enough. A person complimented me this week. That's probably going to be hard for some of you guys to believe. I was on the phone with them, and I was in one of the roundabouts, and hey, and they gave me a compliment on a little bit of wisdom that I shared in an arena with them. And they said, man, that was awesome. I appreciate you giving that to me. That means a lot. That's going to really help me. And the thought in my mind was, wow, what if I had not played games through the whole part of my 20s? That's what I did. I played video games. When I wasn't working, I played video games. I had something like 40 hours logged in playing Modern Warfare 2. Now, you didn't want none against me in that game. That's a fact, because I was really good at it. But it's because I had logged 40 days of my life into playing that game. What if I had logged 40 days of my life into reading God's Word? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing games sometimes, but I think I was a little bit addicted, maybe worshiping the game. That's a lot of time to invest in something. At the end of the day, it took valuable time that I could have been doing something better. As I've mentioned the past two Sundays, I'll say it one more time in case you weren't here to hear it. I think that I have been, and I think many of us are playing a game called Christianity. Christianity is not a game, but we're trying to play it like it is. It's not a role that we step into on Sunday. It's not a pair of khakis and a nice shirt or whatever you like to wear, maybe your favorite boots or suit. It's not that. That is not Christianity. What we put on and where we drive to on Sunday morning and who we sit by, what pew number we sit, that ain't it. That's not Christianity. That's going to church. And that's great, but it ain't Christianity. It's not a series of boxes to check each week like we're, you know, trying to earn God's favor. Well, God, you know, I told you that I was going to read five chapters in the Bible this week. Look at my checklist. I've read those five chapters. I have spoken to you once a day for 5 days in a row. And look at my list. And I am authentic Christian. If you could just put a stamp on this, I will be happy and I can move on with my week. Also not Christianity. Christianity, from what I can tell, from reading God's Word through and through and through, especially in the Gospels, the Christianity, when you really break it down and boil it down, is believing and following Jesus Christ. Amen. That's pretty simple. Doesn't mean it's easy, but Christianity is believing in the person of Jesus Christ truly for who he is. Because he's still alive. If you don't believe it, go read Revelation 1. And following him. Staying right behind him. Real close. Tethered. Physically, mentally, spiritually. We're going to do what he does. We're going to say what he says. We're going to think like he thinks. That's what we're going to do. Because we're followers of Jesus Christ. I don't see how it's any different. I don't read it any different. And if that sounds foreign to you, ain't nobody mad at you this morning. Nobody, including me. Me, number one, I'm not mad at you, but I want you to think. I want you to let that sink in if that's not what you're doing. The central truth of these verses that we've been working through for 3 weeks is serving Jesus should define our daily life, should define it. Serving Jesus should define it. And living in the presence of Jesus should be our ultimate desire. Living in his presence right here on earth and being in his presence for eternity when we go to the other side, wherever that may be. I'm going to recap points 1 and 2. The first truth that we talked about 2 weeks ago was make Christ your life. And we looked at verses 21 and 22. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. The application that we took from that was most believers have Christ in their life. Most believers have a necklace with a cross on it. They have a Bible on their bedside table. But the difference is that Paul didn't have Christ in his life. He wasn't just a garnish. He wasn't an appetizer to the main course. Jesus was the main course. Jesus was his life. Everything that he thought, said, and did was for Jesus Christ. That's very different than garnishing Jesus Christ to a few things here and there. Sunday and Wednesday, man, I give an hour to Jesus, you know. Well, congratulations. Paul gave 24. Paul wasn't God, but he's a good example of somebody that knew how to follow him. Verse 22, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know that which to choose. So Paul does not see life as a mere existence, as just breathing oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. He sees it as an assignment and a purpose. The question I asked you that week was, is Christ something you add, or is Christ what defines you? If somebody looked at your week, we talked about this, I think it's worth talking about again. If we did an evaluation of your week this week and somebody gave me the report, here's the report of Hannah's week, because Hannah's the one I'm looking at. Sorry, Hannah. Here's the report of Hannah's week, and I'm going to go and I'm going to look. What did Hannah do this week? What kind of conversations did Hannah? And I look at all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No Jesus? What is it? How should I evaluate that? That ain't good. Christian? Not like Paul. Nothing like Paul. I never want somebody to look at me and go, you think Jesus, or do you think Philip feels like that Christ is the reason to live? Or is it Alabama football? Or is it white-tailed deer? Or is it turkey? Is it mud riding? Is it? I don't want that. I want them to know that the reason that I'm here, what I'm about, what Philip's about, is Jesus. That's what I want. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what I'll get. Make Christ your life. And when you do that, here's what's awesome. I don't know how much I talk about the benefits, but when Jesus Christ is your life, everything else will fall into place. Boom, boom, boom. You know why? Because he's got the power to do that. I worry about lining all these things up, making sure I got this investment done by this time, and this done by that time, and I got this over here, and I'm not saying to not be a good steward. Don't hear that. Be a good steward. Use your brain. God gave it to you for a reason. But what I'm saying is you don't worry yourself into an anxiety mess where you have to get on medication because you can't see how something's going to work out. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I didn't study this before I got up here. This is kind of off the cuff, so I'm just going to give you the Blount County version. Here it is. So they were over there in Israel. Israel is being bombarded by these people. I'm talking about there. It's fixing to happen. I don't know if that was Babylon. I don't know which war it was. But anyway, they're like, this is it. So the guys that were out there, lepers, are outside the gate because they can't come in the gate because they didn't want to infect everybody. So they're outside. And they're like, you know what? We're starving to death out here. We're all fixing to die anyway. So we're going to go inside. So they went inside. And they're doing their thing. And then all of a sudden, God wrecks everybody in that other army. Wrecks them. They're dying in Israel because they're surrounded. They're not letting any food or water or nothing come in. Like everybody is fixing to die. It's over. And all of a sudden, God just completely wrecks that army. And they go outside, and they're like, wow, man, there's food. There's military. Where did they go? And God just gives the blessing. You think they expected that? Do you think they could see that? No. So that's what God does. That's his ability. He has cattle on 1,000 hills, and we're worried if he can provide for us. What are we doing? But I think the closer we get, the more we can rely, the more that we can trust, the more that we can see those things. Amen? Make Christ your life, and everything else will fall into place. I believe that. Now, it may not be falling into place like you thought it would. I've noticed a lot of times my vision and God's vision is two different things, but I'd rather trust his. All right, second truth. If we are ready to quit playing the game, we've got to desire Christ more than earth. Verse 23, but I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Paul is not trying to leave the earth. He simply loves Christ more than the earth, more than the world, more than anything that's here. I asked the salvation question. It said, you know, you don't want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. I'm confident nobody would answer that this morning. But do you want to spend forever in the presence of Jesus? Do you? And if you don't, that's a problem. That's a real problem. But it may answer if you're like, well, I don't know if there's got to be more things to do in heaven than spend time with Jesus. Well, that may be answering some questions about today. If you're worried about that forever, and maybe answering why you don't want to spend any time with him in his word, in prayer, or anything like that today, here. Okay. Wow. Hadn't got very far. Verse 24, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He desires most to be in the physical presence of Jesus, but he's willing to stay and to serve and glorify Jesus with everything that he's got today. So basically, he's in a great selfless spot. Jesus, what do you want me to do? You want me to go left? I'll go left. You want me to go right? I'll go right. That's a good place. That's where I want to be. Wherever Jesus needs me, that's where I'll be. Okay? Wherever he leads, I'll... There you go. So what? Death is experienced as gain only if Christ is your greatest desire. If we only want Christian benefits but not Christ, death is going to scare the wits out of us. If all we're looking for is the benefits that we can get from Jesus, his, you know, top tier plan, tier one, tier two, tier three, Christian benefits, if that's what we're looking for, death is always going to be pretty scary. Even true believers can struggle with the fear of death, but as Christ becomes our treasure, death becomes to look more like gain. You follow me on that? The closer we are to Christ, I think the further we are from the fear of death. Because we're going to be ushered into his presence where we should be longing to go anyway. See what I'm saying? I think that's where Paul was. If we want Christ, death can be a passageway to something much better. So we should desire Christ more than earth. All right, here we are. Are y'all ready? We're going to start the sermon now. If we are ready to quit playing the game, we've got to live for others' growth in Christ. We are supposed to be growing, right? What is the old saying in science? If you're not growing, you're what? I think that's right. I'm not a scientist, but I think that's right. Look at verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul believes he's going to stay alive. He's going to make it out of jail. He's going to remain. Why? Because he feels confident that Jesus is not done with him. Jesus has still given him service to do, and that's what he's going to do. Paul remains specifically for your progress and joy in the faith. Progress and joy, the two reasons. He stays for their spiritual growth. He cares about them growing in their relationship with Christ. He stays for their joy. He stays so that their faith actually matures. He desires, Paul desires, what Christ desires. And you know what Christ desires? Spiritual growth. Okay. I'm really excited about this. I'm the only one in here that is excited about this. What is the current trajectory of your spiritual growth? I'm going to sit here a minute. Maybe not a minute, but a few seconds. Think about what I just asked you. What is your trajectory, which means up and down? If we got a graph, that's trajectory. What is your trajectory? It starts with your belief in Jesus Christ, that day, that moment. What does it look like? Does it look like somebody who is not doing real well? You know what I'm saying? Like they're fixing to check out of here. Real flat, close to the ground? Or is that thing crawling? Going up. Where are we at? Just be honest with yourself. You ain't got to say it out loud. Mine was flat for a long time. I'm talking about, and I'm not saying it's really growing at leaps and bounds now, but it's growing a whole lot faster than it was. That thing was staying on the floor. Is that what we should want? Is that how you want your spiritual growth trajectory? Near the floor? I hope not. I hope not. A friend of mine sent me a video this week. It was a reel, those little short videos on social media. And this pastor's there, and he's describing two categories in his congregation. It's just him sitting there talking. He says, basically, in my congregation, I've got two types of people. I've got people that come every Sunday wanting a hit. And I've got people in there getting ready for battle. At first, I went, woo, a hit? That's kind of like I don't feel good. Like you're saying, they're coming in there for a little, like a transaction, like a street transaction. I mean, what do we got going on? But then I got to thinking about it, and he's saying, you know, they come every 2 weeks, they come once every 4 weeks, they come every 6 weeks, and when they come, they're looking for something. Like they've run out, and they're looking for that next little thing to get them through the next 6 weeks, 4 weeks. Okay, that's strong, but I see you. I see you. And then he said, then there's other ones that are there. They come with intent. They're prayed up when they come. They're listening. They're paying attention because what they're doing is they're sitting there sharpening the sword. They're shining the shield. They're tightening the laces because they know that we're in spiritual warfare every day, and they come expecting to get prepared more for it so that they can go back out and they can battle for the next 7 days until they come back. Now, you need to be filling up and you need to be reading God's word in the middle. I'm just simply referring to coming and worshiping with fellow believers. Those are two different categories. We've got to be, we can't be seeking a hit. Amen?
Amen?
That ain't it. Because we're in battle. There's a real enemy out there that really wants to devour you. That's what the Bible tells us. We need to believe that. And we need to be ready. And so we need to be here. We need to be in God's word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be together. We need to be building each other up. We need to be encouraging each other. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're ever going to have a chance. Not getting a hit, coming for battle. But it's got to be grace-induced. We're not checking another box. We're not trying to be a legalist thing. I'm going to do this because I want people to see it. No, it's got to be grace-driven desire to come and be prepared for battle. It's got to be out of a love for Jesus Christ, not out of a love to perform and make people brag on you or look at you in a certain way. This is all about you and Jesus, not about us and anybody else. This is a tough question. We've asked it on the live stream a couple of times, and I don't know how many people have answered it. But truly, why are you here this morning? Why are you here? There's a myriad of responses to this in your head right now. And I kind of want to know, and I kind of don't want to know. Some people, it may be because, well, my wife will not leave me alone until I come to church on Sunday. Hey, you don't think I ain't ever heard that? That may be a reason. Maybe to say that you went to church in a conversation that you're going to have later today with somebody that you want to impress. I went to church this morning. I've used that. I have these examples because I use them. I've done it. Those are not good reasons to come to church. I'm not mad at you if that's why you came, or to see somebody you like, or whatever. I don't. The latest updates of the church. I'm not mad at you. But you ain't going to get what God's got for you with those reasons. Guess what? We still have time to do. I'm going to sound trendy. This is something the kids say. Guess what you've got time to do right now, no matter why you came this morning? Lock in. Am I wrong, Mr. Musgrove? No, I'm not wrong. You still got time to lock in. Regardless of why if you came for one of those reasons that are not good, lock in and let's finish strong this morning, right here in God's word. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing we can do is start praying and seeking Jesus in the word so that we can grow up. Praying and seeking Jesus in his word. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. So Paul, he liked to write other letters too. This is another letter that he wrote. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. That was not a compliment. He's not buttering them up as he writes that letter. But as to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. Wow, Paul, come on, brother. Write me a letter. Tell me how you feel. I'm an infant in the faith. I'm a man of flesh. That ain't good either, by the way. That's not a compliment to be of the flesh. We need to be of the spirit. Okay. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Why? You aren't able to receive it. Boom. Come on, preacher. Indeed, even now you're not able. For you're still fleshly. These are believers. And he is hammering them. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? He's calling out some sin. Are you not walking like mere men? Mere. I love that word. That's like, ooh, that's ugly. Mere. Fleshly. Jealousy. Strife. These are believers, though, guys. These aren't. This is us. He's writing to us. The main problem is these believers were still living in the flesh. They were choosing themselves. They were choosing the world. And Paul wanted to help them spiritually grow. So he punched them in the mouth verbally. He said, here's what you're doing wrong. Wake up. And we know how to grow, don't we? Every single person, every one of y'all know what it's like to want to grow and pursue it. Let me look in the room here. We got a cheerleader right there. I remember when that little cheerleader was in that hallway, her ninth grade year, I think it was, going into 10th grade, wringing her hands, buddy. She wanted to make that cheerleading squad. Oh, she was so excited, and she had done good. I remember that day. You remember it? Have you grown since then? Yeah. Because you wanted to. You applied yourself. You grew. And now you see her out there on the court and she's jumping and doing all the things. My athletes, you wanted to grow. You want to be a starter. So you put yourself, you did the work. Business owners, you started with nothing. You grew it because you wanted the end result. You know what it's like to see the need to grow. You know what it's like to have the desire to grow. You know what it's like to put in the hard work to grow. But are you doing that spiritually? Not of your own. Again, we're not trying to do this of our own flesh. We're doing this through the power of the Holy Spirit because we're believers and we have that power. But are you calling upon Him to grow you? Or are you just content? I'll be there Sunday. For many of us today, it's time to throw the bottle away and start using the fork and knife and eat the ribeye of God's Word. Amen. I ate a ribeye last night. Boy, it's good too. That's, by the way, if anybody wondering, that's my favorite cut of the cow. I like them about an inch and a half thick, somewhere between medium rare and medium. I'm off subject, sorry. But that's the way I see God's Word, and that's what I want. I want the ribeye. I don't want 2% milk. I don't want whole milk. I don't even like milk. Don't buy me milk. I don't like it. But I like ribeyes, and I like God's Word, and it's the meat. And that's what I want to be eating. And some people, as Paul's talking about, unfortunately, there's probably some of you today that you'd choke to death if I cut you a piece of it and handed it to you. I'm not mad at you, but it's time to get some teeth. And you get them by getting in this Word. If you're a believer, get in this Word. I put out a reel yesterday because God gave me a little something. I wanted to share it with other people. I was excited about it. Do you realize, if you go back to Genesis in the first chapter, God said, there was nothing. And God spoke every bit of it in existence. And guess what this is? God said, it's His Word. And His Word was powerful enough to form everything that you can see, touch, taste, and feel. If it's powerful enough to do that, and you've got it right here, why in the world, if you want to experience any power, are you not reading it regularly? Did I do okay with my logic there? Did that make sense to y'all? But we leave it on the coffee table. We leave it in the middle of the living room. We leave it in our car. It's got dust all over it. It ain't been opened. It cracks when you open it because it's just been sitting there for so long flat. Let's read God's Word. Let's get some incisors and some molars. Let's grow them so that you can cut into that ribeye and eat it. And if it's seasoned right, ain't got no salt, ain't got to put no sauce on it. So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Their confidence is not in Paul as the man, and I'm not calling for your confidence to be in Paul as a man either. Our confidence is in seeing Christ do a work through a man, and that growing our faith and growing our confidence. And Paul is a vessel. He seeks to be a perfect vessel that Christ can just do everything through. That's what I want to be. I want to be a perfect vessel. When I prayed before I come up here, I said, God, don't let me speak, but just you speak through me. And let me only speak your truth so that these people can be impacted in a positive way for your kingdom. He was a vessel that gave them confidence. So, if you're looking for purpose in your life, if somebody came in here today saying, oh, I hope he talks about purpose because I need some purpose. Well, you are in luck. God is ahead already, and this applies to whether you're crawling in the floor the first time or maybe the second time. All the full spectrum of age, this is going to give you purpose. Are you ready? You're not ready, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. God desires you to progress someone's joy in the faith if you're a believer. God desires you to help progress someone's joy in their faith in Him. For some of you, it may be a child. For some of you, it may be a grandchild. For some of you, it may be a coworker. For some of you, I don't even know. It may be your mom or your dad. But if you want some purpose, you can have some purpose in that right there. And you can help. You can be that perfect conduit that Christ is working through to help somebody grow in their faith. One key reason that you may still be breathing is because someone needs to see and feel your faithfulness and grow in Christ. I don't know, and you don't either. Some believers drift through life. Not Paul. He leveraged life. He viewed every remaining day as an opportunity to help somebody grow. Man. If we're still on earth, let's live for others' growth in Christ. When we wake up tomorrow, let's ask one question. Who will grow in Christ today because I'm still alive? Will it be a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a grandchild, a neighbor, a co-worker? You've been wanting purpose. Are you ready to accept the challenge? Live for others' growth in Christ. Conclusion. I don't like this one, though. This is the Mardi Gras one. Man, I wouldn't have done this 4 years ago, but I'm going to think for just a minute. Everybody's played a board game, right? Again, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to think about this. I love you. I care about your spiritual growth. I want you to hear this. If you've been sitting around the table and you've got your board game there, Christianity, and your little pieces are on it, and the dice is out there. If it's Monopoly, maybe you got the Monopoly money. You know what I'm talking about? Green, red, blue. If that's what you've been doing, I want you to take a note out of Jesus' book. I want you to grab under that table, and I want you to flip it. Let's not play that game. Paul didn't play that game. This is real serious. Let's lock in for Jesus, which is believing and following, not checking boxes. I don't know how you need to respond to that, but I hope I was clear. A response is necessary. You can't flip the table. You can't embody Christianity without first believing and having that moment of where you know who Jesus Christ is, believe in Him, call upon Him, confess Him as Lord, ask Him to sit down on the throne of your life, ask Him for forgiveness of sins. If you hadn't done that, that's step one. You need to do that today. Everything else follows that. There's nothing before it. That's step one, is believing and confessing. If you hadn't done that, let's do that today. For the rest of us, if we've been playing the game, again, I'm not mad at you. I've played the game a lot. But I'm tired of playing the game. And so maybe you need to do business with the Lord this morning as we have a time of response. The altar will be open, or what we call the altar. If you need somebody to pray with you, that'll be available. Somebody will happily come pray with you. But whatever you need, and let me give some encouragement. Let me give some encouragement. I've been trying to do better about that. Barnabas was the son of encouragement, and they highly acclaimed him in the Bible for that. I want to be an encourager too. If you've been locked in, if you have not been playing the game, but you've been truly following, believing and following Jesus Christ, good for you. Stay locked in, because you're right where you need to be. Stay prayed up. Stay in God's Word. That's the only way any of us are ever going to be successful, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Staying in His Word and staying prayed up in Him and asking for that strength to stay. So whatever, if you would please stand, whatever your response is this morning, I just ask that you would do it.